Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
I tell you what, this was one of the most perfect ways to end a sunny, glorious day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan. You know what I'm saying? It was pretty, pretty cool.
On 95.7 The Game.
That was the great Sergio Romo talking with Mark Willard and Dan Dibley. Willard off this week, enjoying some vacation time with family in Hawaii. FP Santangelo in. I'm in. My name is Mark Grandy, along with Dan Dibley, of course, here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game, talking through MLB trade deadline. We're now, 22 and a half hours away from the trade deadline tomorrow at 3 o'clock Pacific time. We'll be on the air, of course, 2 to 6 every day here on 95.7 The Game. We'll be on the air when the trade deadline comes and goes. We'll keep it locked to 95.7 The Game for all your MLB trade deadline talks and drama and news. We've got it here for you on 95.7 The Game. We will get back to Giants stuff, what they do at the deadline. Are they going to buy? Are they going to sell? Are they going to do some of both? Where's Blake Snell go? What about Matt Chapman? What about some relievers? Doval, Taylor Rogers is the name I've heard thrown around out there. What about your corner outfielders, Yastrzemski and Conforto? We can get to all of that, and we'll take your calls coming up here in just a second. 888-957-9570. But guys, we have MLB Network on here in the studio, and during the break, you guys were watching a highlight package from the Baltimore Orioles win earlier today, and their catcher, James McCann, in his first at-bat of the game, was hit in the nose with like a 95-mile-an-hour fastball and stayed in the game. He stayed in the game, and he finished catching the rest of the game, and you look at him after the game, he's got a broken nose, it looks like. His nose and his eyes completely swollen up. He stayed in the game and caught a full 9 innings after getting hit in the nose with a fastball.
He's got double cotton swabs in both nostrils that are all bloody.
My God.
So, like,
he just got done in a, like, fighting Mike Tyson or something.
I think I'm getting soft in my old age. Normally, I mean, this is what a badass move.
I'm thinking
when you get hit in the face with 95 that there can be some like cerebral bleeding. And the fact that he stayed in the game, there's a lot of criticism online for him staying in the game. He's a badass. Baseball players don't get enough recognition for being tough. It's usually hockey players and football players, but most baseball players are tough. And that goes back to the whole Buck Showalter. I guarantee you James McCann played high school football.
He's a football
player. Guarantee. We can look it up. He played high school football. But man, he looks like Rocky in Rocky 1. Like at the end where he's like, Mick, cut me. I can't see.
Cut me, Mick.
He looks like, I just watched that the other day. By the way, that's such a good movie. I haven't seen it in like 10 years.
Yeah, it stands up.
It's really good.
It's, I mean, beyond the boxing part of it, just a good character story. But for McCann, you take fastball in the face and, you know, if you're okay to play, keep playing, kid. Rub some dirt on it. And he did. And he stood up and his nose was absolutely gushing, and he took his base.
If that were like Little League, high school, or maybe even college, somebody would lose their job.
For sure.
For him staying.
Oh, no doubt.
The parents on Facebook would go nuts. Like, what are you doing with my son? He got hit in the face. And there's something to that, man. I hope he's okay. And it wasn't like he got grazed. There was some people saying he should have got up and pumped his fist 3 times and said, fight, 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 after he got hit in the face.
Oh, God.
Taking it to that level. That is a badass move. I can't deny that, but I'm just wondering, like, you're catching with one eye, dude.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Catching with one eye, you're hitting with one eye. I don't know if there's internal bleeding there. Like,
hitting a baseball is hard enough with two eyes. Doing it with one eye and a broken nose seems incredibly difficult. And then, there could be broken, like, bones, broken facial bones, broken skull. Like, you never know what could go on with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball hits you in that spot. You could have damage to your eye, like legitimate damage, more than just it's swelling up on you. You could be concussed. I'm sure they ran him through a couple of quick tests in the dugout between innings, but staying in and playing nine, like, there was the moment earlier in the season where Patrick Bailey took a foul ball off his face mask or whatever. He stayed in the game for another couple of innings. Then he started feeling the effects of the concussion. And you see that sometimes where a guy takes a blow and then stays in for an inning, then gets pulled out later. He finished the game. 9 full innings he caught after getting hit in the nose.
Yeah, got a hit too later in the game. He wound up going 1 for 3. And he drove in a run with that pitch hit him in the face. Bases were loaded, part of the 4-run first.
So toughest RBI ever.
Really tough. But to be able to get back in the box and deliver with the hit, and yeah, you're right, FP. I mean, forget just playing left field after that happens. You got to put the mask on, and yeah, you're catching with, you know, I'm sure he could see out of both his eyes, but the amount of pain that he was in, for sure.
There's concussion protocol. So I'm sure that was applied multiple times over multiple innings. There's certain questions that trainers ask the player, and if they answer them correctly or incorrectly, they're either in the game or out of the game.
Yeah, wild.
I'm sure he answered them all correctly because, boy, if you get a chance when you get home,
look at the pictures of it.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. He looks like he got hit in the face with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, it checks
out. It's a glancing blow.
It's got his
just
ear.
But a flesh wound.
Just got totally. His ear.
Exactly. All right, 888-957-9570. Tomorrow is the MLB trade deadline, and we're breaking down every angle of it here on Willard and Dibs. FP and Mark Randy in for Willard, along with Dan Dibley here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go back out to the phone lines. What should the Giants do? What should Farhan do? Is Farhan fighting for his life? Does that mean he's a little more willing, perhaps, to take a big swing and try to get a big fish in here? Or are the Giants going to do what they've done for the vast majority of their deadlines? Maybe a move or two on the margins, but they're relatively just going to stand pat. 888-957-9570. Up next is Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie? You're on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well, Richie. What should the Giants do tomorrow?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, they're on the fence at this point. By the way, getting back to McCann, I think he played a little hockey. That's what hockey players do. I mean, I'm shocked that they let him stay in. He's a catcher. His eyes are blackened. You don't know what I'm really amazed at that. I go watching for 70 years. I don't think I've ever seen something like that.
What if he took a foul tip off his face after that? Like, what if he got a straight foul back in his
mask?
That
would hurt. Yeah.
They say how soft the baseball players are. Well, he just proved the point and said, hey, I got hit with a fastball 95 and I'm still in the game. God bless him. I hope he's okay. Hey, look, you know, I tried to call this morning. I'm on the fence here because, and so is Farhan, because, you know, his job's in jeopardy at this point. And when you look at their staff right now, potentially they have the best 5 starters in baseball. They really do. If Snell, I mean, Webb all of a sudden went from a 1 to a 3 if he's going to be behind these two guys. And Webb is taking a step back. But Harrison's playing great as a 5. And Birdsong looks like a real top pitcher. So you've got Robbie Ray and Snell and Webb. They're 4 games out. You know, I guess maybe they were talking to guys this morning. We're talking about maybe getting Guerrero. You know, Guerrero's got a contract, so I guess you'd have to give up some of your young guys. But I've learned through the years, prospects are what they are. I know Kelnick was a guy, 5'2 player 5 years ago when the Mets gave him up, and he's turned out to be okay, nothing special. So I think they're going to stand pat. I really do. And they got Snell and they got Robbie Ray for 1 year knowing that they could opt out. So at this point, to just start selling when 4 games with 58 to go, and in a week you could pick up 3 games and all of a sudden you won out. I think they're going to stand pat at this point. I'd like to get another bat. I don't know how real Fitzgerald is. He's been a real find. And then to give up Bailey, I mean, all of a sudden you found that you've been looking for a catcher for Vince Posey, and now you're going to give him up. And next year you're going to do the same thing and go for 1 year contract. I think at this point, stick with it. I think them winning 4 games, you know, if they had lost 3 out of 4 and they'd be 7 out, then there'd be no question. But the fact that they're right there 3.5 games out, I think they're going to stick with their guns, guys, and maybe pick up a first baseman because they're getting no. They're getting nothing at first base at this point. I love Wade, but there's no power. So I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I think I'd stick with what I got.
Yeah,
I like that call. I like everything about that call. It's well thought out. He's making some good points. Like I said, I'm not going to be upset if nothing is done.
I think
a lot of Giants fans would be, though. Yeah, I'm in the extreme minority here.
He might be reacting to you saying, I think if you're the GM of the Giants, you're making everybody available. You're taking calls on everybody. I don't think anyone in their right mind is considering trading Patrick Bailey. No. I don't think you have to worry about that, Richie. But if I were to ask you guys, what's more likely? The Giants go out and make a big move to bring someone big in. They trade one of their better players, make it Snell or Chapman, or they don't make a big move, they don't trade away one of those big guys, or they generally just stand pat. I think the most likely outcome is they stand pat, right?
Agreed, and I think the next most likely move would be to trade one of your bigger name guys, and your third most likely, I think, option would be to go out and acquire somebody, a big name guy. I just don't think that you're in a spot where you're looking to make that addition, and I also am kind of like Richie, in that you're better off, in my opinion, of just standing pat. I think you have enough to make a push for that third wild card, and the assets that you do have are those ones that you want to keep.
So what if, okay, you stand pat, generally speaking, maybe you make a move or two on the margins, but nothing crazy. You don't really change the roster all that much. So you keep Snell, you keep Ray, Cobb comes back, all this, Chapman, you keep him. All the guys that have options, you're not trading them away. You're keeping all these guys. And then say Snell opts out. First of all, say you miss the playoffs. Snell opts out. Chapman opts out. Ray, I would imagine Robbie Ray is probably the most likely to opt in. I'm not exactly sure what his market would be like, only making a handful of starts coming off of 16-month recovery off of Tommy John. I would imagine Ray likely opts in. So let's say he opts in and you have him back for next year as well. But you lose Snell, you lose Chapman, and you miss a postseason berth. We're going to be looking back on the trade deadline where you did not go out and make a move and get something back, recoup some value for those quality, valuable players, and you didn't get anything back for them and you missed the playoffs anyway. We're going to be looking back on this moment as a mistake. But again, that's just the risk you run when you're being a GM, I suppose. But
that's a crappy scenario.
If it doesn't work out,
if we
let's not pretend like it's that wild. I mean, you could easily miss the playoffs, and I think we're all expecting Snell to opt out. I would imagine, assuming that he pitches at least halfway decent the rest of the year.
Why?
Because he wants to make more money.
Why can't he make more money here?
Okay, well maybe.
Why can't they sign him to a deal here?
Might be able to.
Why can't Chapman stay here because he likes the manager so much? Snell likes the manager so much. What about that scenario? What if they do make the playoffs and they do stand pat?
Well, if they love it here so much, you should trade them away, getting something back for them, and then re-sign them afterwards.
That's what everybody says, right? That never happens, ever. When Soto got traded to the Padres, all the National fans were like, that's okay, we'll get him right back. Max Scherzer got traded, we'll get him right. That doesn't work that way.
Did Aroldis Chapman did that once with the Cubs?
Yeah.
Went to the Yankees or something. He's been everywhere. But.
This is Tommy Pham, by the way, just this ADD, seventh team in 4 years. This is his seventh team again.
In four years.
That means he's...
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more, Rex.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Yeah. Valuable enough to get traded,
but not valuable enough to stay somewhere.
Well, guy who there probably wears out his welcome.
I don't know. I don't know anything about him other than he slapped Jock Peterson
and just plays on teams that aren't great and aren't trying to hold on to their veteran pieces on a team that's very, very bad, like the White Sox, who's willing to move any and every veteran that they have.
Like, I'm thinking of everybody in the big leagues right now, and he scares me more than anybody.
Tommy Pham?
Yeah, he's just scary. He's scary. That would be a dude I would not mess with on the other team. He just kind of seems like a badass.
I mean, in a good way for his teammates, but like on the other side, I'm just like, okay, Mr. Pham, do your thing.
Yeah, good for his teammates.
I have changed. In my 30s, I would have tried to kick his ass. But like now, it's just like, I don't know. He just seems like he's scary. And probably a really good teammate. Who knows? Well, he's a guy you want on your side, not against you, right? One of those guys?
Yeah, but he's a guy who's constantly on the move, and there's got to be a reason for that. And, you know, traded again today. And like you said, 7 teams in 4 years. That seems like a guy who's, you know, maybe wears out his welcome a little bit, at least with organizations, because teams don't seem to want to keep him around.
Brandon Marsh with a home run. I love that guy. He might be my sneaky favorite player in baseball. And I have this weird addiction to watching Philly games right now.
Well,
I watch every single one.
Your love for Jason Worth, you just must like guys that look like him, right? He's got the long hair.
Did you hear him on Pardon My Take?
Jason Worth?
Yeah, he was on yesterday. Listen to it. It's one of the best listens you'll ever hear.
Brandon Marsh is a Jason Worth lookalike, and yeah, they're both in a Philly jersey.
And so is Trey Turner, and so is Bryce Harper. I think they're a perfect example of a team with horses that plays the game the right way. They're playing for each other. They play good, fundamentally sound baseball, and they got a lot of talent.
Okay, so to go back to something you were talking about earlier, discussing the Giants' plans at the deadline, you said it's not that crazy. This Giants team just plays baseball the right way. The final 54 games, they just play the right way. They quit the stupid mistakes. They don't let balls drop in the outfield. They hold runners on at first base. Maybe they are a little bit more aggressive on the base pass themselves. They swing at more strikes. They're better approaches at the plate. You just do the small things right, and this team, it wouldn't be shocking to see them make the postseason. So if you feel that way, then I mean, this team shouldn't really have to go out and do anything tomorrow to be able to achieve that. This is just all within their own power.
This is why I wouldn't be disappointed if nothing happens, because I think that the way the roster is assembled, the way they're playing, and you said you had a really fair point about it hasn't happened in 108 games, but they didn't have Blake Snell like this for 108 games. They didn't have Robbie Ray. They didn't have Tyler Fitzgerald.
A lot of these
like
things don't have anything to do with the pitchers, though.
Everything else. Yeah, they didn't. They weren't playing like this, and it was a different team than it is right now today as we speak for the first 108 games. Their biggest hole, their biggest weakness was shortstop. That's been shored up with Tyler Fitzgerald. Now you got a lefty that throws 98 that just came back, and after he got over the nerves in first inning, shoved against one of the best lineups in the National League. Now you got a guy that's looking like a Cy Young Award winner all of a sudden. And if you get Cobb back, and you got Birdsong, who wasn't here for the first 108 games, like, this is a different team. You got Jordan Hicks in the bullpen. He wasn't a starter. He wanted to be a starter. They tried him out. It didn't work. He got tired. Now he can come in and blow it out and throw 97, 98 for an inning. He could be your setup guy. Like, this is a different team, the way it's constructed right now, than it was the first 108 games. So you already have some acquisitions with Fitzgerald at shortstop, with Ray, with Cobb coming back, with Hicks going to the bullpen. This is a different ball club than it was the first 108 games. That's why I think if they just play good baseball, they're going to be flirting with that third spot in October, and I wouldn't be shocked if they make the playoffs.
Yeah, 85 wins, and I know you can only worry about tomorrow and try to go 1-0 tomorrow and all the rest of the FP-isms, but when you look at it from a bigger picture, you could see 32-22 if they do the things that you're talking about, just play better baseball. The team right now, the roster, looks better than it did in April, and you've figured some things out. Shortstop is a great example where you've got a guy now who you can put out there, guy who's hitting a ton, and he can be your shortstop. You don't have to worry about that anymore.
I want that jolt, though, to walk into the room. I think that would be cool. They need a jolt.
So, yeah, okay.
That would be cool. I don't care how it happens, but like to Ned Coletti's point when he was on the show earlier, that does... We were in the wild card in Montreal one year. We were one game back, and we thought we were going to do something at the trade deadline, and we didn't. And there was a lot of dejected faces in the clubhouse because we didn't... We just like, oh, we must not care. We're not trying. And if you don't do anything, that can leave a certain taste. So I think it would be cool. I think if they stand pat with the roster, they still have a chance. But it would be cool for the guys, not for us as fans, but for the guys to have somebody walk in that door that you're like, oh, we're trying. Okay, let's go. Giddy up.
I guess you could kind of interpret it in a couple of different ways, though. And maybe it's how the team feels about themselves in this moment. But if you don't go out and make a move,
Isn't that also kind of a vote of confidence? Like, we believe in the guys we got right now, that you're good enough to go out and get us into the postseason?
Yeah, I think they're fine as is. You hear the quotes right now from Alex Cobb and Sean Jelly. And
Chapman yesterday, Chapman. We're good enough.
We're good enough. They believe it. They wouldn't be saying that out loud. And they're not trying to speak it into existence. They literally believe that because they're seeing how they're playing. They're looking around the room, and they all know how valuable pitching is. And all of a sudden, they got pitching. They just got pitching. They had two lefties to throw 98. Like that, those don't grow on trees. They got number one in the Cy Young last year. They got a former Cy Young, and they got a guy that finished number two in the Cy Young last year. Those are their three starters in a 5-game series. So good luck. And then now you got a guy
plus Alex Cobb coming back, who was an All-Star last year.
So, I mean,
Kyle Harrison, who's pitching really well.
It just depends on your perspective of things. I'm not trying to be a homer or paint some kind of pitcher that ain't there. But this isn't a bad team. This isn't right now as we speak. There were times this year I was like, oof, 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 oof.
I mean, that's the Dodger series just a week ago.
Oof. Even, some things that were happening in Colorado, but not that they swept is great, that they have that relaxed, confident feeling now is great, but this is a different team. It's a different team. It's a different vibe. This starting rotation isn't an opener. It was yesterday because they moved Hicks to the bullpen, but that's not how it's going to be. You got some horses now. You're going to be in every game with horses, as long as you catch a ball behind them, which I don't think that's asking a lot.
They've won 4 games in a row before. This is their third 4-game winning streak of the season. They haven't ever won 5 in a row. Do you think the vibe is better than it's been at any point this season?
They wouldn't be saying the things they're saying publicly if it wasn't. And, you know, when you're in a clubhouse long enough, you know that it doesn't matter who you beat. It's just that you're celebrating. And it gets to be like an addictive thing. Where in Oakland, when we won 102 games, we had this song "One More Time" by Daft Punk that we played in the clubhouse after every game, and we wanted to hear that damn song. And we came through the line, and we come up the stairs in the Coliseum into the clubhouse, and we were hearing Daft Punk. That was like reinforcing that we won, and we're drinking beers, and we're laughing, and there's music playing, and we're cranking it. And so we wanted to hear that song. You'd be in the middle of the game thinking about, we want to hear that song when we go in the clubhouse. And we'd walk through the door and guys are like, play that effing song. And they'd turn it on. And then, so it becomes a thing where you get conditioned to win. It's the Pavlovian response. Like when the bell rings, the dog slobber. I mean, same thing. Like you go out in the game, it's a 7th inning, you flip the switch. We're going to win because we want to hear that song. We want to go out tonight. We want to party after the game. We don't have to tiptoe around the clubhouse. We don't have to worry about what we say on the bus or how we act on the plane. Anything goes when you win at the highest level. There's no rules. As long as you're winning, it's the funnest thing you've ever experienced. It's the best drug. If anybody's ever, I don't do drugs. If you do drugs, it's the best drug you can ever possibly take is being at the highest level. There's nowhere else to get called up to, and you're winning baseball games. And we didn't care if we were beating the worst team in the league, the best team in the league. We just wanted to hear that song and keep winning.
We do have a little bit of news. There was a trade made for a starting pitcher just now. Let me pull it up. This is from Jeff Passan of ESPN. The Houston Astros have acquired left-handed pitcher Yusei Kikuchi from the Toronto Blue Jays, sources tell ESPN. So the Astros jumping in on the action at the trade deadline. They acquire a left-handed starting pitcher. That's important because he was on the tier below. There's a decent amount of starting pitchers who could potentially be available. I know there's some aces like Garrett Crochet of the White Sox, Tarek Skubal of the Tigers. I don't know why the Tigers would ever consider trading the guy who's maybe the best pitcher in all of baseball right now. Blake Snell is in that category. Jack Flaherty is also up there. But the Houston Astros have acquired Yusei Kikuchi from the Toronto Blue Jays, previously with the Mariners. Quality pitcher, but not in that top tier. But a little bit of movement in the pitching market as Kikuchi is now a Houston Astro, as the Astros are beefing up their chase for October. Of course, they've had a number of injuries to their starting pitchers all season long. They get a quality left-handed starter from the Toronto Blue Jays, and we'll see if this market continues to churn as we move forward. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. When we come back, we got a long segment for you. Coming up, we'll dive more into everything Giants related. Josh in San Francisco, I see you on hold. We're coming to you on the other side. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. More Willard and Dibs with FP and Grandy alongside Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
But first, let me tell you a little secret here. It's a secret about weight loss and the fact that I've lost 25 pounds over the last couple of months, and I've done it thanks to the great program at Abundant Life Weight Loss. You can find out more at abundantlifeweightloss.com. The secret is how you lose up to a pound of fat every day, and you don't need to worry about injections or drugs. There's no surgery. There's no counting points or calories, no prepackaged meals either, and you don't even really need to exercise on this program. It's a doctor-supported plan that makes perfect sense. You give us a call for a free consultation. It's 925-854-5140. The call is free, and you'll get nice consultation, and you'll get to see the information that goes in to this wonderful diet. Many people lose between 20 and 30 pounds in the first month or two, and you can get up on board and be a part of this plan. Now is the time for you to change your body and change your life. 925-854-5140 or go online to AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.